repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated from attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
But we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. I just want to come to you right off the bat and just say thank you for joining us. We're so honored that our guest and our audience is that we're just walking this thing out together. The things the Lord has shown us, I want you to be encouraged. There's good things ahead. We're going to go through some difficult times, but God's just looking for us to pray. He looks for somebody to stand in the gap. And speaking of that, in the next couple of hours, by tomorrow, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will have to pick his government. It's kind of different than America. Once you get elected, then you got to build a unified government, which I think is a good idea. Probably would be a lot better if we had some sort of concept like that. But if he's not successful, in building that unified government, then what happens is everything shifts. Everything shifts and it won't go the direction that it needs to go in. And the people voted overwhelmingly, will actually squeak by with a win in Israel. But it's tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, that he has to have his government together. And this is what God does. God says, I look for someone who will stand in the gap so I won't have to destroy the land. If we're concerned about God and concerned about Israel, you know what we'll do? Between now and tomorrow, we'll just carry Israel in our heart. And we'll pray, dear God, your government would be over and set over Israel, that you would help Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu establish a unified government that's moving in unison. Because the Lord says very specifically that any kingdom divided will fall. So we don't want divided government here in America. We don't want divided government in Israel. And we can pray for that. And now is the time for people to get united in Israel, but we need to pray. And God's just looking for someone to pray. So your prayer is significant. So I just want you to remember, pray for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He is working, as we speak, overnight, having to build a group, and all these different parties have to come together, government parties, to be able to say, we agree with the direction of this government and where it's going. Well, what do you know? This weekend, reportedly, according to the AP, ISIS, radical Islam, has officially had their first attack on America in Texas, near Dallas, in Garland, Texas. Watch this from CBN News.
Story.
Police were ready for the gunmen as they opened fire and fired back.
This is very scary. We heard boom, 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 and then all of a sudden we see the cops everywhere.
As the cartoon contest by the group the American Freedom Defense Initiative was ending, two men in a car arrived and started shooting.
They drove up, got out, and opened fire on the security officer.
After the security guard was hit, Garland police opened fire, killing both gunmen.
The bodies are outside the car?
Yes.
On the ground?
Yes. And simply because we're not going to expose ourselves to a bomb that's inside a car.
Approximately 20 minutes before the shooting, a Twitter account that had expressed support for the Islamic State used the hashtag Texas Attack and indicated two men were going to give their lives for Allah. An ISIS spokesman called them brothers with the Islamic State. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
The AP News has reported today that Islamic State group claims, this is from Cairo, by the way, the Islamic State group claimed responsibility on Tuesday for the weekend's attack at the center near Dallas, Texas, that was exhibiting cartoon depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. So they're taking credit for it. And so here we are. I mean, you think about the things we've been talking about. We're going to talk more about it today. You know, as we have said before, you know, you can get in the wrong fight. You know, God has not called us to expand our kingdoms and men's kingdoms here on earth. He's called us to be able to submit, to advance His kingdom. And you know, provoking anyone doesn't accomplish anything. And so we're not in agreement with doing things that provoke anyone. It's just useless. It's you know, God doesn't like people who the sin of provoking brother with the brother inside the church. He calls it actually an abomination, someone who stirs up strife. So we got to be very careful that as Christians that we're not getting caught up in this whole, you know, political arena of causing, you know, strife and just, you know, exercising some sort of right we have that offends someone else. But in regards to speaking truth, we need to speak truth. And I think it's very, very important to understand, too, that, you know, this police officer that was there, he was directing traffic for this gathering there. He's like, you know, work probably a side job. That's what I did as in law enforcement. Somebody would hire you to go work a side job, either way, where he's working for the department there for Garland, Texas, or he was working a side job. If it wasn't for him to stop directing traffic and pull his gun out to end the lives of the ones who's going to end the lives of the Americans that were in that building, many lives would have been taken. They posted supposedly on their Twitter account when they were about to go out and do it. They said specifically they were going to, you know, come against Texas, attack in Texas, like hashtag Texas Attack or something of that nature. And that was their goal. And so we have to remember that law enforcement, you know, they're there to enforce the laws that the government establishes. Now, the government is there because you voted for them. So if you don't like the laws, it's not about attacking the law enforcement, it's about changing your government. So things are going to get really difficult, you know, in society, in America. Remember that good law enforcement is your friend, and it looks like God's rooting out, you know, bad law enforcement is kind of coming to a head. But just because there's one bad guy at the office or one bad girl at the office doesn't mean everybody in that company is bad. Most of officers in America are good, outstanding officers. And we need to understand they're there to enforce the law. And we just want to give a big thank you to the officer in Garland, Texas, who saved the lives, you know, of the citizens of there. And I was shocked to see one of the reporters from I think it was CNN that was interviewing one of the ones that was heading up that conference, and she was going to be murdered by these people, and yet the newscaster was attacking the citizen of America as if they were the ones provoking this thing when somebody was lurking outside to shoot the people. And we got to understand, this is some crazy days, but this is what I want to talk about before we go to break, and we're going to talk about this program. Remember back in September of 2014, when we started talking about ISIS as an American, what God began to show prophetically, and what Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, God revealed to him, and he immediately shared it, and we shared it with you. And then another part of that actually came, we'll share after the break. But this is taking place. This is the first of many things that are going to be happening based on what God has shown us is going to happen, lest we repent. Watch this. This is Rick Joyner talking about this prophetic dream. And prophetic dream is God showing you what's going to happen. Of course, we can pray that it doesn't happen, but we've been praying for quite some time it doesn't happen. It doesn't seem like people's hearts are ready and right to be able to change. Take a look at what God said specifically is going to happen. He said this in September He immediately put it out, and now we're beginning to see it happen. This is the first ISIL attack, ISIS attack, and it's in Texas, of all places. Watch this.
But this is a scheme against, about and against our country, the United States. And what I saw in the dream, I first saw the most horrific gang I have ever seen. I mean, this was a demonized gang. I mean, this was diabolical. They were diabolical in their nature. I can't imagine demons being more diabolical than these people were. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. Now, I saw one of their attacks in great detail against a Texas ranch. It was a ranch I knew to be in Texas. Some things in dreams you just know. I knew the house, the family. This gang had herded up everybody there that was in the dozens of people, whether they were workers, family members, everybody. And I am not going to share the details of the dream after that. I hope to never share them. I don't want to share them with anyone. I don't want to remember them. They were so horrific. Cruelty on this level, you know, I mean, I have done in-depth studies of the cruelty in the Middle Ages and things like that, but this was a whole new level of demonic cruelty. It wasn't just about killing people. It was about bringing as much absolute pain, terror, everything else you can before death. And everybody, in the most cruel way, was killed. And, you know, I just don't want to go into the details here. Those are not necessary. But I think it is necessary to understand we're dealing with something, there's no mercy. That is absolutely not an option with these people. Matter of fact, they were ranked in these gangs. And these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. And it was just the most diabolical thing I've ever seen. But what I saw was this plague spreading, especially across our southeastern United States. It was spreading like a plague. Now, U.S. citizens were so outraged across the country. This was virtually across the U.S., every state, every city, every town. Even though most of this was centered in the southwestern U.S., American citizens became so outraged at their own government for letting this happen. There was a huge movement or uprising around the country against our federal government. There were many U.S. citizens who wanted to do to our government leaders what was being done to U.S. citizens on our southern border. It was so outraged. What I'm saying is this madness came upon U.S. citizens, too. And they wanted to be just as cruel. They wanted to catch them. They wanted to. This was such a national uprising, such a national outrage. There were states where all federal employees were fleeing, trying to get out of those states for fear of their lives. It was that bad. Now, it's hard for us to imagine anything like that happening in America. This kind of thing's happened in countries before. And we are the most foolish and naive of all if we don't think this can happen here. This will happen here if some things are not done very quickly. Okay, this is another thing that I saw. There was a major uprising. Almost every state in the Union almost immediately started rejecting federal authority over their state. It was so widespread, so total, federal government really couldn't do anything about it. It was chaos. It was leading to anarchy very quick. And now I saw militias popping up like mushrooms all over the country. Where citizens were just saying, if our government's not going to protect us, we will protect ourselves. Now, I know many think of, and the militias have been portrayed as all white wing extremists. And listen, there are some out there that I think are as terrifying as some of the Islamic State terrorists are. They are, and you know, these are not the kind of militias that I saw popping up, though. These were people, they weren't trying to take over the government, overthrow the government. In their mind, we had no more federal government. It was not doing its most basic job of defending our country. They had let this happen. They had opened the door wide, very foolishly. Even everything was brought up from the past, like, you know, Fast and Furious, all the crazy things our government had done. And almost quickly, there was an awakening around the country that our federal government is either crazy or our federal government is trying to do us in. And the federal government became looked upon as an enemy of the citizens of America. This happened so quickly because of the attacks and the level of cruelty that was witnessed by those who were pouring across our southern border. Now, these weren't all ISIS people. ISIS was involved. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads, would have been merciful. This was something far beyond that. It was mixed with an unbelievable diabolical cruelty that was coming from every evil source you can think of. It was like the bowels of hell had...
Think about this. In Oklahoma, there was a beheading of a lady who was at work doing her job. An employee who got fired came back, and he was so angry because she would not convert. He was trying to get her to convert to Islam, and she just said no. He cut her head off in America, in Oklahoma. And America remained silent. Remained silent. He posted on his Facebook. He said what he wanted to do. All these things, just like these guys that went to Garland, Texas. And we were warned about this. We've been warning for quite some time. And it's like, you know, it's only inevitable if we don't repent. The key is, will we listen to God? And will we repent? Will we say, God, we've done wrong before you, that we don't want to go for government. We're going to go to God. And we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about this, because this is coming to pass. It's happening as we speak, and we got to know what to do about it, because another dream came, another prophetic dream just came. I want to be able to share that with you as well. More, we'll get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it legal to read your Bible at work during break time? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I am a dock foreman at a prominent company in St. Louis. I was told that I could not read my Bible, specifically my Bible, while I had idle time working on my job as well as a dock foreman. And my question is that an infringement of my constitutional right? Because other people that are employed here, they also read the Bible. But I was told that I could specifically.
Well, reading the Bible is not a banned act, and certainly not an illegal act. And if they allow you to read material at work during break times, you certainly should not be prohibited from, in this particular case, reading the Bible. It's not a banned book. It doesn't create a religiously hostile environment, and there really should not be any problem with this.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in this part of the program is John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, man. How many times have we made this warning?
Many times.
We made this warning. The
the warnings that have been given. And so often people, you know, just don't believe it, I guess. And it's like it's not till it is. You always hear me say that. But once it is, even if you're 5 seconds into it happening, people go, "Yeah, I've always known this."
They're an expert at that.
Well, you remember in New York when the hurricane came, mm-hmm. Sandy, and nobody was responding to the warnings.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, overnight, they became experts.
Right. They watched a little bit of news and they got some information, and now everybody knew. But prior to that, they had no knowledge of a hurricane, never really experienced one in New York.
Right.
And so now they watch, you know, 5 hours of news. Right. Everyone's an expert, and then
the thing about it is all we have at that point is just information.
Right.
This is, you know, VFNTV is not about information.
Yeah.
It's not enough to know the news. We need to know what to do with the news we know. What's going on? What is the God of the universe who holds all things together? What is he saying?
And how many times have you heard, you know, a catastrophe, something bad happens? And you'll hear people say, well, no one warned us, so how do we know about this? Well, you've been warned. Amos 3:7 says that God does nothing without telling his prophets, his servants. And so the prophets have been warning, they've been sharing, they've been declaring what God has been showing them in night visions and speaking to them. And it's be wise for us to pay attention and take heed.
Well, I know that, you know, by the way, the entire dream can be, you can see the entire dream of, we just showed part of it for Rick Joyner that he got mm-hmm. back in September. We have another one we're going to show you in a little bit for, that just came in February. It was a sequel to this. And if you haven't read The Call, or you hadn't read Final Quest, if you hadn't read The Harvest, I mean, one of the gifts that he's been given and is God just begins to give him vision and connects it with another vision and just tells this whole story of what's going on. And how you know whether it's true or not, whether it happens or not.
That's right.
And it's happening, it has happened, and it's going to happen. And we are hearing ourselves, you know, the Lord's talking, you know, to us in dreams and visions and others, you know. And you may hear people saying, you know, don't listen to those warnings. Don't listen to that, because it's good things coming. It's great things ahead for us. I personally believe it. The great things are ahead, too. I really believe it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. But if you're going to have a garden, you're going to have to till the soil.
No doubt.
You know, difficult times are coming. What my desire is, and our desire is, that you'd be a part of the harvest, that you wouldn't be tilled under in society, but you would come to the surface and you'd be a part of God history in regards to what God's going to do, the greatest harvest on the face of the earth. Now, you know, the Lord says very specifically that, you know, I'm setting up my watchmen on the wall, and their responsibility is to warn. They have to warn. You have to warn. You have no choice. If you don't warn, then if somebody, whoever gets hurt, whatever the consequences are, what happens, you know, the one who didn't warn will be accountable to God. That blood of that person will be on their hands.
Yeah.
Now, if you do warn someone and they don't listen, it's not your fault. So you have no choice but to warn. But if you do warn someone and they listen, this is Ezekiel 17, I believe it is, then they repent and It's all successful, and God prevents the storm, mm-hmm. and it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, you won a friend and a family, and it's, you know, all of heaven celebrates for the one that comes back to God.
God makes provision, you know.
Yes, yeah. And so, I mean, everything, I think about this, I mean, God's really just showed me in detail, and we walked it out, physically walked it out, but there was this, he showed me this vision, this night vision, where, you know, all of a sudden, he showed me just basically walking out of our studios, taking everything, and beginning to pack up and go. And then he began to share with me how this is how he wanted the prophet to be able to show everybody, this is how it's going to happen if this doesn't go on, his word. I believe it was Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
Yeah, and he said, you know, dig a hole in the wall and pack up your stuff and walk out shamedly out of the city, and hopefully if they'll see this, then they'll repent. Because this is the future if we don't do it. Yeah. And we had to walk the whole thing out. You know, God does speak.
Yes,
he does.
We
have that. Remember, you probably can go to goddoesspeak.org or com or something and see it. Because we were going to move everything he said to do, you know, we did. And we were ready to set up of all the places to be setting up was the heartland of where you're seeing just constant bombardment of weather, constant bombardment of hail, constant bombardment of now, the first ISIS attack, the Syria
disease,
courts,
Ebola.
Disease, Ebola. It's all happening in that one particular area right there. And when we were there kind of exploring and seeing what was going to happen, The place that it looked like we were going to first be at was the field, not the lot, not the land, not the subdivision, but the field where a whole bunch of subdivisions are type thing. It's right close to this area. Hmm. But it was called Woodrow Wilson. And the whole thing, this whole thing started, you know, thank you, Woodrow,
yes.
You know, and the League of Nations and United Nations and all this world rule type stuff. But understand that the Lord was just saying that if we don't repent, we're going to end up in that original intent and that plan. And we're beginning to see all that take place. And of course, the Lord immediately began to speak to us and spoke to me. And he said, okay, now that you've done that, America shifted during the Boston bombing time. The whole country just shifted. Then he said, I want it to be right there. I want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, VFN Dream Center, all to be located right on the Gulf Coast, where he's going to begin to just establish a glory zone. He's beginning to do that. But listen, difficult days are ahead. This has taken place. The question is, what do we do about it? More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up. Or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Who would ever thought that this day would come in America? And it's not like we... You know, that it's America's strong, but it's systematically being dismantled, and the mooring lines are being, you know, removed, and the Titanic, as we've said and over and over again, the warning, the unsinkable ship. And as Abraham Lincoln said, President Lincoln said that the only way that America could ever go if it's inside, it's the people on the inside. And people are working overtime to be able to do that, but they only had the permission to do that if God allows that. So the answer is not government. The answer is God. you know. And if you get a chance, you need to go. It's available for all of our VFN TV partners there, but it is called Law Versus Morality, Understanding How to Respond During These Days. And it's very important, because a lot of people are trying to respond to things legally, you know, governmentally, you know, self-righteously. And it's like, hey, we're sinners saved by grace, that God has forgiven us for our sin. And that's the thing that we have is the dependency upon the Lord, the love of God. And you got to get that. It's available to all of our partners. Of course, being a partner, VFNTV partners, just any amount whatsoever, you become a partner. And all that's available. That and plus a whole bunch more is available to our partners as a thank you to you. Just go to VFNTV.com and just follow the partner prompts that are there. Listen, here we are right now. There's another dream that came in, prophetic dream, just confirming this. And I know that, you know, we don't probably have a lot of time to be able to say what the watchman on the wall and writing the walls and the warning. And there's a reason why the VFN torch is called the VFN torch, because it's a warning of what God's doing. I want you to catch this dream. It's just part of it. You can catch it in its entirety at VFNTV.com on the torch. But this is Rick Joyner giving the sequel, as he put it, and God expanded even more about what's happening and what's going to happen. And realize this came before Baltimore. And remember, the mayor of Baltimore said very specifically, and we'll probably have it for you after the break, but she said very specifically, we need to leave room for those that destroy. Now watch this. This is a February prophetic dream, and we just saw it begin to come to pass in America. Watch.
What I called the hordes of hell that were coming over our U.S. southern border. I had a dream last year that I shared, and it seemed to go everywhere. And this, just a week or a little over a week ago, I had another one. And when I shared the last one, I shared it the next day. I was still so energized by that dream. And really, in a lot of ways, still in, you know, almost shock by some of it. It was one of the most graphic dreams I've ever had. This one was even more so. But I waited a week to do this program. So I didn't want that, you know, extra energy, or I wanted to just share it with you straightforwardly. It was actually more graphic than the last one. It seemed even more real. It was like I was there. I was observing these things from being there. It was not the kind of dream I want to have, but it ended with a great victory and great encouragement. And so I'm going to share this with you, but I did again see this terrible demonic army that was crossing our U.S. southern border. And it had advanced further than in my last dream. It was well up into the border states. It was, you know, some of them, it may have even included those whole states. But it had advanced a long ways. And this evil, I felt like, was the spirit of Apollyon that is named in the book of Revelation, which really means the destroyer. And that was the spirit that was gripping, I believe, and controlling these people. And there was a spirit of destruction on them, where they absolutely had to destroy anything of value, anything of beauty, and all the life that they could. They were just indiscriminately killing cattle, killing everything. They were just the destroyer. It was the spirit of that destroyer that it speaks about in the book of Revelation, I believe. And but everything behind them was a wasteland. Everything. And I'm not going to share all the graphic details, but I was able to go and walk around in their camps, in their communities. And, you know, it's like I was unseen, like they couldn't see me. But I could see them and hear all their conversations. And I do believe that that what I saw was real. But they couldn't see me. But at the end, I think the spirit that was over them discerned that I was there. And this is a part of the revelation we've got to understand, too. But they had so consumed everything in their path that they were reduced to cannibalism. And I don't know why, if the resistance had stopped them where they were and they couldn't go any further to keep consuming the land, But they were just starting to consume one another and consume. I mean, it was a terrible thing. I don't want to get into any more detail than that. But I also saw that everyone in this camp hated everybody else in the camp as much as they did Americans or America or anything else. They were just full of hatred. And they didn't trust each other. They were all paranoid. It's like all of them seemed to know that at any time, the rest of them could turn on them and kill them just as easily. And so there was this terrible fear and paranoia on everyone. Now, there were some couples that I assume were married couples that were a part of this horde that hated each other and feared each other as much as everyone else. I felt like there was zero affection, friendship, or anything else in this whole camp. Now, I believe we're going to see that kind of thing come on the nature of destroying hordes, whether it's ISIS taking over parts of Syria and Iraq or anything else. But when they start imploding, it's going to be like nothing, no kind of hell you could ever imagine or describe. And just, I believe it's probably becoming that way right now in those camps where they're just all afraid of each other, afraid if they get just a little bit out of step with the others or even perceived to be that they'll be turned on and destroyed. But there was this terrible fear and paranoia. And, you know, thank the Lord, you know, we are going to see his army coming forth at the same time. This is a very different spirit. I believe at the same time, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord's going to raise up a standard against him. Now, I believe to the degree that there was fear and hatred and everything else in this camp, you're going to see love and faith coming forth in God's people in his camp. And at the end of this dream, I saw that ultimate victory of the Lord's people, of the army of the Lord. And but I did see this, you know, I'm describing the character and the nature of those. And I do believe because I keep seeing this specifically coming across our southern U.S. border, that this is something we're going to be facing as a nation. But in this dream, near the end of the dream, it's like all of a sudden the people couldn't see me, nothing. But all of a sudden it's like this evil spirit that was controlling them discerned that I was there and tried to tempt me to become a part of them. And there was, you know, zero temptation on my part. It's like, there is no way, there is absolutely nothing here that could tempt me to in any way compromise. And my place in the Lord, it wasn't much of a temptation. I mean, there was just no way. And I felt that in this dream, like, are you crazy? There's, you know, that. And it was then that I heard these marching feet behind me. I felt like I'd heard them before. I felt like when I, in the first part of the dream where I saw the hordes of hell that I wrote about in the final quest, that evil army that was coming, I felt like I heard those same marching feet. And I turned around expecting to see that same evil horde coming up behind me, but it was a spiritual army, and it was the army of the Lord. Now, it was a spiritual army, it was an angelic army. Now, they came and destroyed the evil horde. Somehow, they were released when I rejected the temptation. I don't understand it more than that, but I know that's true in the dream. Somehow, just it was like a test. If I couldn't fall to any of this, then God could release his army. And they came and they completely wiped out the evil horde. They did it without vengeance. They weren't even angry. God's army was not even angry. They knew it was just something that had to be done. These that were a part of that evil horde were incorrigible. They had crossed the line. They could not be redeemed or anything. They had to be destroyed, but God's army, it was not like they were taking any pleasure or any vengeance or anything. They were just doing their job.
This is amazing when you're starting to hear these things. And he's talking about specifically, if you haven't read Final Quest, you need to begin to read these things. These are not, this is not entertainment.
Right.
This is not a movie. This is not a digital game. This is real. It has taken place. And these are just amazing times. But it's time for God's people to arise and begin to be the light of the world. He's commanded us to be salt and to be light and to express his love, towards mankind. And you're talking about, it was so evil. He said this was even, what he saw, the second sequence was more evil than the first one. And the first one you heard him describe it was that beheading would have been merciful.
Right.
But if you haven't, I was watching, I think it was called Queen Elizabeth, part one and part two I think it was a PBA special or something that was going. It was a documentary. And if you look at the history in general, there's some horrific things that happen in the name of God, in the name of the church, And he's very well, Rick Joyner is very knowledgeable about that, where they would disembowel people, trying to get them to confess that what they did was sin. And if they confessed, then they would have mercy on them and behead them. This is what happened in the context of those in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Well, he knows about that. And he said that would have been, what he's seen take place is worse than that. And so it's time to pray. It's time to fast. We'll be talking tomorrow in our next program about, it's a National Day of Prayer, but we have a global prayer, as we put out last week, that they're beginning to pray for America around the world because of the times that we're in. And it is just time to pray. It's time to not only pray and humble ourselves, but to turn. We got to turn back to God. He called us to be his disciple, not go to church. He called us to be the church. We're supposed to follow him. He said, come leave everything and come follow me. We're trying to take everything and squeeze in following him. And it's just, you got to count the cost as a disciple. It costs everything. He'll allow us to have things and stuff, but he will not have us and those things.
That's right.
As the rich young ruler. But it's a good win. It's a good thing. We're about to see everything that the Lord, how good he's been to us, because some difficult times are coming. But in that, as you heard at the last part of this dream, and we've been saying as well, the best of times are going to happen because the people are going to awaken, they're going to arise, and God's going to once again, I believe, just a third great awakening coming to this land. More we get back from the break. We're going to break it down a little bit.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
They got different flavors of soy. Like, as a kid, usually there's regular milk and chocolate milk. To me, you cannot pass up a good glass of chocolate milk. I mean, that's the bomb right there. You don't like chocolate milk?
No. I don't know. I don't like anything chocolate in my drinks.
You ever had Cocoa Krispies?
No. I don't do anything chocolate in my drink.
I am shocked. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Not even like
I don't like chocolate ice cream. Do not.
How are you a Hamilton? Chris, we've got
to. I don't know.
I didn't know it either. All of these years and your brother, he didn't even know.
He was a chocolate man. That dude,
are you serious?
He'd have an IV of chocolate, milk, and ice cream. Dude.
You don't even like, hold on a second. Wait, hold the phone, dude. I'm sorry. I am like in shutdown mode. Like, you don't even eat like a Reese's or like an M&M?
No. Chocolate drink. For some reason, anything in my drink, chocolate, I don't know. It just does not agree with. I don't like it. I can eat candy once in a while. I put chocolate in my protein shakes for my protein bars. But
that's powdered chocolate.
Well,
it's imitation created chocolate.
I'm just saying. No, I don't do chocolate milk. No.
Oh my goodness. What have you ever tried it?
Well, yeah. How do you think I know?
When you were like 7? You know your taste buds do change. Like
they have.
You may be an avid chocolate drinker. You don't even know it.
No.
It could expand your horizons.
No.
Well, anyways, okay. Well, Man, I feel like I'm learning so much about fat.
I know. It's so interesting, isn't it?
Well, Chris is learning new things too. He's like, I didn't know that.
Welcome back
to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to take the last part of this program and begin to just talk about this. This is you know, we got to pay attention. We got to be alert. You know, it says, you know, a prudent man sees danger and he prepares for it. The fool keeps going and suffers for it. I want to let you know, too, that, you know, you need to be a subscriber of the Torch newsletter. It's simple to do. We have a free gift for you. And guess what the gift is? It's called Prudent Preparation, how to prepare for these times. It's going to be too late to prepare once things begin to happen. And we're really close to it. Go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, and you'll see the Torch newsletter. Just click there, sign up, put in your email, and you got it. It'll come to you every single week. And look for an email to come to be able to give you a free talk on how to prepare. We've got to begin to think out of the box because America's about to be out of the box. That's the Torch newsletter. Also, you can text 88, what's the number of that?
I don't know.
228-28. Go to VFNTV.com. I don't remember what the text is right there. Listen. The destroyer, that's what Rick Joyner was talking about, or God was revealing to him. This is like the destroyer was coming in. And remember, this will really encourage you because it just seems kind of strange sometimes when you see the enemy, you know, kind of coagulating and it seems like they got some sort of unified effort going on. They're never getting along. They're always, their driving force is pride. Their driving force is, you know, getting their way. They're frenemies. You know, they're kind of coming together like the Pharisees and the Sadducees came against Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That they're... It's like different, like the Sunni and the Shiite Muslims are coming together to be able to try to harm Israel. They're not really friends. And as you saw in this dream, or heard in this dream by Rick Joyner, that it looked like they were together, but every one of them, even in a marriage, the enemy was dividing those two. The word devil means one who gets in between and divides. And so if you're working for the devil, you're doing the devil's work, we know you ain't, you're paranoid, schizophrenia, and all that stuff's going on. But let me tell you something, if you're with God, you need to be walking in unity and agreement. You shouldn't let the enemy divide you from the people of God. And understand, he said that this was like a destroying spirit. Everything it touched was they destroyed. Everything. Whether it was cattle, food, to the point that he says he even saw cannibalism taking place, which means, by the way, people were actually eating human flesh to be able to gain protein. And I haven't seen the program, but I saw a commercial on it. And they're showing things like that, like the dead people walking around. Wow. It's like it's going in people's head. But he said the destroyer is what he said. That was in February. Well, guess what happened with the mayor? What's the mayor's name in Baltimore?
Stephanie Blake.
She said very specifically, we want to be able to leave room for those who destroy. Watch this.
Well, we've had these types of conversations before. and I've made it very clear that I worked with the police and instructed them to do everything that they could to make sure that the protesters were able to exercise their right to free speech. It's a very delicate balancing act because while we try to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other, you know, things that were going on, we also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well. And we work very hard to keep that balance and to put ourselves in the best position to de-escalate, and that's what you saw.
We also want to give those who destroy room. What? Mm. Understand this, that Ephesians 6:12 tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So don't focus on people. Understand there's something happening in the air. Principalities, power, spiritual wickedness, and the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's going to do. And so the thing about it is God's on his own side. So it's about getting on God's side, repenting, coming back to him. You know, you profess Jesus as the Lord of your life, but is he the Lord of your life? That is one of the keys. And when we think about, you know, we're talking about, you know, Rick was talking about the book that he wrote, the prophecy that he had read about called The Final Quest. And in that, these armies are marching, and it's a vision that he's seeing, he's writing out. But some of the most powerful, strongest men of God were taken down by two demons, like pride.
Yeah.
Like one little small little demon of pride took down, you know, these strong men of God. And armies, just armies, a whole bunch of Christians had their swords. They were just dragging their swords, and they had their shield. They were dragging their shield. They didn't realize what they had in their hand. And they were held captive by like two or three demons of fear. Thousands of Christians were held captive by two or three small little demons of fear. I mean, what do you have to fear? Come on. If you're a Christian, understand that Jesus, God died. He gave his son's life for you on the cross. And that's the price. We pick up our cross. We follow the Lord. What are we fearing? The fear of loss of things, the fear of loss of stuff, the fear of harm to oneself. And it's like, it's time to give all that up. Unless if that's what's holding you back. You know, and the fear of loss of reputation, who has a reputation? If you say you're a Christian, it means that you found out that you are an immoral person, you're a sinner, and that you need to be forgiven for your sin. And outside of the grace and the mercies of God, that's who you would be. So saying that you're a Christian to someone means you know that you need a Savior. So it's time for us to stand up. And another thing is too, is saying, you know, I'm not good enough. Who's good enough? The only one that was good enough was God. Think about this. Jesus was walking. And this is important because a lot of people are trying to be good before they act. Trying to be good because that spirit of fear is going, look at you. If you do this, you know what's going to happen there. This is going to happen. Like, so what? It happened. Take it to the cross. Repent and begin to walk with God. You know, get rid of the reputation that you think you have. But anyway, so they saw Jesus, the Son of God who never sinned, walking down the street. And the man yells out, hey, good teacher. Jesus stops. He turns around, and this is Jesus. He says, who are you calling good? The only one that's good is God. That's so important to understand, because if you're caught up in you being good, and it's your goodness that got you to where you are, you totally are trusting in your own works, and you've totally left God in the context of your salvation and saying, you know, I'm trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. I'm not trusting in what I've done and not my own works. Paul writes to the church of Galatians. I know we're coming to the end of the program. He says, who bewitched you? Who cut in you? You were running a good work. Did God do all these things amongst you because you obeyed some law, because you were good, or because you believed? It's time for us to rise up. These things are happening around us. And I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. If y'all could just gather. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're shouting this trumpet. You're letting us know that you spoke to Rick Joyner, that we knew this ISIS situation was coming. Lord, we pray for the people of Garland, Texas, of Dallas, Texas, yes, of Texas, Lord, and America, Lord, that you would protect the American folks, Father God, that the church would awaken, Father God, that we would get the revelation that the only one as good as you, but you're good enough, Lord, to bring us in, Father God. And I pray for those that are right now that have been trusting in their work, God, that they would just release that, God, and come to the cross, Lord, and go back to the original tent of you, that we're saved by grace, not by works. We're to brag on you, not ourselves, and we're to go tell everyone, Lord, that you are Lord, and begin to live a repented life, God, in Jesus' name. We told a couple of our stories. You can find out about it at meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. God bless and catch us on the next program. We'll be talking about the National Day of Prayer.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Don't forget VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFNTV in the daily video program and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it with over 3,000, Pat, 3,000 highlights that are available for you. So that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures, we have videos, we have graphs sometimes, and just allows you to take more time to really go deeper, because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles, and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN torch where you can look up prophecy. All the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, Third Great Awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light We're here to have a conversation and with hopes and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation, and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always. Because yes. He, my goodness, he mm-hmm. is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.